Good morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Coach LaLisa Show. I am your host, Coach LaLisa. Well, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you, whether you're listening via the internet, if you're listening on your cell phone, your landline, or various websites, Facebook. There's so many ways now to hear radio. You know, radio has really, I mean, technology has just done tremendous things with radio. You know, whoever thought, even though, I mean, hosting radio from your home is certainly not new and certainly not new to internet. However, the technology has even allowed that. I mean, long time ago in the, I guess, Stone Age days, you know, people went to these elaborate studios and paid all kinds of money to put together a show. You needed a lot of advertising dollars, but that is totally erased right now, and many, many, many more people are coming onto online radio, and I just appreciate that we have been here now going into our fourth year of being right here on Blog Talk Radio. We were on Harvest Radio, WKMB. It's right here on AM Dial here in New Jersey. We were there from 2005 until 2008. So we had 3 years of being in a on-ground studio, and that was lots of fun. That was amazing. Doing a weekly Christian-based talk show there, that was absolutely hilarious and fun. And then in 2008, we had some changes to our schedule, and then we decided to do go full speed with internet radio. We were had already opened up an account, and as you can see, you can go in and find some of the shows we've done back in 2008, 2009. So now here we go into 2012. So now we're going into our fourth year of doing internet radio, and it's been fun. It's been exciting. So we're here with the Coach LaLisa Show each and every morning. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please, you can inbox me from Facebook. I will get the message to Patricia Martin, who does schedule people for the show. I will get her contact information for you if you would like to be a guest on the show. Also, if you would like to be a part of any of our panels that we have coming up for the rest of this year, for next year, if you want to see our schedule starting in January, we will be putting out our schedule of shows, and you will be able to go to the website and you will be able to log on, see what shows are coming up, see what topic you would like to fit into, and that is the schedule that we're going to stick to, and that's what we'll be launching. So we'll be launching the website hopefully next month, November. We will be launching the Coach LaLisa website, and from the website, you will be able to find out, you know, get all the past shows. You'll be able to find out about upcoming shows. You'll be able to find out about events that we're doing in various cities and towns around the world. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot to keep up with. We are growing, and we're just growing because we're going. So if you want to grow, the best way to grow in life is to just go and do something. And so today, this is Thursday, getting ready for Friday. So it's been an exciting week so far. And we have our first caller is on the line. I'm going to open up his phone line. His or her, I'm not quite sure, but I think it's a him. I'm going to open up their phone line and see what and who this is. And so why don't we do that right now? Area code 212.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning. I recognize the voice. Listen.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm okay. I sort of cleared some things away. I took care of what I had to take care of yesterday so I could, you know, participate in this conversation about, you know, because it, you know, something that we left off with yesterday. And for those who are listening, my name is William Frederick Cooper. I'm the author of 6 Days in January, There's Always a Reason, and my latest book out that was released in April, One Season in Pinstripes. Something was in my spirit when we talked yesterday about, you know, some of the problems that we have in the literary community in terms of unity. And
yes.
It just stayed with me. That's all. Some thoughts.
Yes. Yes, you know, and I had said today, you know, to talk about how to market your books and sell your books. I mean, the whole purpose, yes, we write the books, and sure, we, you know, get that love out of our, you know, system, so to speak. Some people just want to write things down. But then after that, you put a message, a powerful message in your story, whether it's a message to make people laugh or a message to make people think. It's all kinds of messages in books. Sometimes people are just lonely. And you, in a book, if they read a good book, it's a way to let them know, you know, I'm not alone. You know, other people are going through things, or maybe the author touches them with a particular scene or storyline or a plot in a certain way that brightens up their day. So these books need to get into the hands of people. But I find that many authors and writers, they are not marketing experts. They are not people who are skilled in that. You know, that's a field itself. That's an industry. It's not just a haphazard thing that anybody and everybody can do, though some people have that skill. A lot of people do. It's like singing. There's a lot of people that can sing, even though they may never go on to make a record or a CD, you know, but they can sing nonetheless. So there are a lot of people who would have the skill, but there are so many people who don't. So we just want to be able to help them get the message out.
Marketing.
Well, sure,
in terms of marketing, you know, there are very many ways that you can do it. This, and I learned from people like Karen E. Kionis Miller about guerrilla marketing, of how you would go into a store sometimes and, you know, in the Barnes & Nobles, especially in sections where, you know, you see a lot of our books, or not. Sometimes they don't have them separated, but you see a lot of our books and put your bookmarks in, little things like that, you know, but you got to do it discreetly. Also, I remember Karen Miller when she first started with this book, Satin Doll, how she would get up 6 a.m. or 4 a.m. sometimes and put flyers out on telephone posts and things like that. Of their books, you know, you run off 500 copies and of flyers, you put them on telephone posts, and you'd be surprised the responses you get from that. Also, the social network. Now, we have the internet where, you know, because we can't necessarily afford the book tours like, you know, at the beginning of the century, what we may do also is, in fact, have cooked up with people who have internet tours where you do a series of blog talk radio interviews like this one, as well as interviews with book clubs, online chats, and things of that nature, you know, as well as the Facebook, the MySpace, the Twitter, the LinkedIn, all the actual vehicles in which you can do online promotions, also website promotions. You know, I mean, these are marketing strategies, marketing tools. You know, a lot of writers also have a tendency to just focus on their websites and things of that nature, write things. And, you know, you have notes in Facebook. Write notes about certain things. Write notes about how you feel. Put previews up of your books, chapters, or excerpts of your books. You know, there's also a wonderful vehicle with some of the top authors in our literary circle. They have a page called the Chapter of Month, .com that you can be a part of, and find out how to be a part of that, which also has writing courses. I mean, there are vehicles out here, but you have to be willing to do the work to get to these vehicles.
Well, you know, that's very, you know, that's great, and I'm so glad that you're coming on and you're sharing this very, very insightful and valuable information, because so many people, they, you know, in their minds, they are doing the research, they are doing the work. Doing the work hopefully led you here to the Coach Lalisa show this morning, and you're getting some of the information that you need. So to all of, you know, my authors out there and people that I've come across that have just written a book, or individuals who or thinking about writing the book, but, you know, maybe what's holding you up is, what will I do with the book once I get it? Because, you know, sometimes it seems like, you know, people, that's one of the reasons we go through what we go through, is to be a blessing to someone else. And so if I went through a lot of hard work and, you know, it took me, I wrote my first book in 2004, so it took me literally 6 years to learn the various marketing strategies that are...
You know what, I was blessed, and Melissa, I was blessed that these things happened. You know, I've written 3 books in 10 years, actually, from 2001, when 6 Days of January was self-published, to now, but I've also contributed to a lot of anthologies. You know, another vehicle in terms of marketing is when there are anthologies, look around online and see if there are anthology submissions, you know, where you can contribute stories for anthologies. Sometimes you won't necessarily get paid for them, or they'll pay you in copies of books, but you can contribute to those things, and that keeps your name out there. You know, you have to be willing to sacrifice, too. And see, a lot of people, unfortunately, you know, and this is a conditioning of not just in a literary circle, but the world in general, have a sense of entitlement. They feel like the world owes them something. And newsflash, it doesn't. So sometimes you got to sacrifice in order to get places where you want. You may have to contribute things and realize that, you know, you might not be getting anything now, but on the back end, you'll be actually benefit from it, you know. A lot of people don't want to do that. You know, they feel like, okay, you know what, I got to get paid for this. You know, that's why you got a lot of people throwing these self-publishing seminars and these publishing seminars. Yeah, I know that you got to eat, but yet you can also give out information too, and cannot be scared to give out information as well, because that's how the world works. I mean, we're all put on this earth, we're all intertwined on this earth to help. That's what makes the world go around. And sometimes, you know, help should not have to cost any, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, that's like problem one. You know, we feel like we got to, I mean, the stories
entitled.
That I heard. The stories that I heard, Melissa, at that conference that we were at, how people feel like, you know, I get paid for giving this information out. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know that people got to eat. You know, if you're, you know, you want to write and you got, you know, you have to eat, or, you know, get a job, you know, until you're able to do whatever you're able to do full time, get a job, you know.
You know, that's
people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Get a job.
Well, you know what, that's a great point, because I still have my job, so... I didn't say I'm going to quit my job and write a book because I'm an author and I'm going to make it. No. Or I didn't quit after, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, you know, 7 years now. I'm going 7 years into this thing and I'm still working. But I still do what I love. I still get a chance to, you know, do the workshops, do the seminars. And so I totally agree with you. You know, that's a very good point. People need to maybe, but you know what? If no one tells them, because again, if you, you know, watch television or you see a movie and you, or this is the way you've heard it, then you think that's what you should be doing. You know, I'll write a book. And a lot of people, you know, when they're unemployed, this is a great, maybe they get employed some way or another and they say, okay, I've always wanted to write. This is a great time for me to write my book. So what do? They write their book. And what happens, then they begin to think that, well, I no need to look for a job now because now I have my book. So I think what you're saying is great advice.
It doesn't work like that. Trust me, talking to somebody that was, you know, that got laid off of jobs and was unemployed. And yeah, I wrote books, but I also needed to know how I couldn't finance my books without jobs. I couldn't finance my tours and go from point A to point B without jobs. Until you're able to do what you would love to do or what God may have ordained you to do, you have to do what you have to do. And, you know, sometimes people don't understand that. They think, you know, and the words are wide. Just because to authors out there, just because you wrote a book doesn't necessarily mean you can quit your job, because, one, there are a lot of people that are writing books that should not be writing books, and, two, you know, every book isn't going to make a New York Times bestseller out the gate. There's no such thing as an overnight success. And I'm not trying to, you know, pour water on people's dreams and sound pessimistic. No, but it's the truth.
Well,
it's
people need
truth.
No, you're not pouring water on anyone's dream, because if what's pouring water on someone's dream is to think that you're going to write a book and sell a million copies, unless you're Oprah Winfrey or unless you're Bill Gates or their children. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen at all. But
I had a lady tell me
you build up a following.
I had a lady tell me when I went to Barnes & Noble to talk to her about putting my books right out there on Route 22 in Mountainside, and she said, ma'am, who knows you? She said, I have a hard time. People don't even come in here and ask for, you know, John Maxwell books, you know. So don't think just because you're an author now that you could put your, you know, we're going to put your book on our main shelf. You know, we only have so much.
No, and see, that's also another thing that in order to get your books on the main shelves, that's another point. You have to develop a following, and that's where marketing, like I said, some of the things that I talked about in terms of marketing come into play. Make yourself visible on these internet sites, you know, and I'm not just talking about the Twitter thing, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but write notes. You know, there may be issues that you want to discuss. You know, I'm a sports fan. I write about sports. I love music. I put music up on my pages. There's also social issues that are going on. You know, everybody has an opinion. There's an election coming up. If you support Barack Obama, maybe you might want to write some inspiring pieces. I mean, these are other ways to sort of build up your fan base, not only with your books. And, you know, you best assure that your books, I would hope, are quality. You know, I appreciate authors that are coming out with a whole lot of books, but I wonder, what concerns me, and especially in the black literary community, is the quality of, one, the subject matter and the quality of the craft. That scares me. You know, what are we going to be remembered by when our time is done, when we're going home, or we shuffled off? What are we going to leave behind for the next generation? Are we going to leave behind a lot of books and be labeled as mercenaries? Or are we going to leave behind books that really say something, you know? I mean, you can't get caught up. You know, it's a fine line. You want to make money doing this, but you also want to also remember what you're going to leave behind when you're gone. You know, I mean, I think about those things every time I sit at a computer. I'm thinking about what type of legacy am I leaving? Am I following the footsteps of Richard Wright, Phyllis Wheatley, Ann Petrie, Alice Walker, Toni Morrison, Eric Jerome Dickey, Terry McMillan, people who have paved the way for me? Or am I just putting out crap to make money? You know, we have to be careful with that. You know, we have to be mindful of that, because this not only represents us, but it represents a generation as well, too.
Yes, this industry, and right now, you're right, there are so many authors. There's authors everywhere. And maybe it seems like there's more authors because we're able to learn about more authors through.
Yeah, there's a wonderful influx. I mean, we're writing books like we never have before, but we're actually authoring books, we're penning books. You know, but I really feel there's a big difference between, like I was saying at the conference, there's a big difference between being an author and being a writer.
Mm-hmm.
A writer can do anything they want to do because it's a gift. And a lot of the authors need to learn how to become writers so they don't pigeonhole themselves, you know. I don't want to just write about erotica. I don't want to just write about relationship books. I want to write nonfiction books. I want to write books on urban fiction. I want to write books on social things. I want to be able to, at the end of the day, write manuals and textbooks, you know,
well,
or contribute to them. But that's because I want to challenge myself to learn the craft.
Okay. Now, with that being said, and if you just tuned in, you're listening to Mr. William Frederick Cooper, who is an absolutely a writer and author, best-selling Essence was on the best Essence bestseller list. And yes, I'm stating that because I think it is such an honor that you would come here on the Coach Lisa Show and share all your wisdom, experiences, successes, and even some of the trials and tribulations that you had getting to the point where you are today. You have your new book coming out.
Oh, it's out. It's know.
Oh, it's out. That's right. I'm sorry. I love the cover. I love the cover with the whole pinstripes and the Yankee thing. What is it, 30 days?
You got a big game tonight.
What is it?
Game 5 tonight. Win or go home against Detroit.
Oh, y'all have tonight. A game. Wow. Well, it's 30 days in pinstripes?
No, one season in pinstripes, ma'am.
Oh, one season. And you know what's so interesting about that? You know, for some people, that you know, pinstripes, you know, that's what they wore in the old jail in uniforms. So, you know, I don't know what the book is absolutely about, but the title itself could, you know, mean a lot of things. You know, a season in pinstripes. It could mean a season in the prison of your mind. You know, I think of so many things, you know, could be in pinstripe. But one question I wanted to ask you before we, you know, get into something else is, so what would be a couple of, you don't have to give them all, or just give a couple, what makes a great writer, if you could sum it up in a sentence or two or however long it
would
take
you? Wow, I mean, research and execution, I would think. You know, writers, they say writers write about what they know. What you know is also what you learn in history books, what you learn in experiences. One of the things I love about Bernice McFadden, who is an incredible writer, is she does extensive research. Like, she has a book coming out. She had a book, her last book, Glorious, that got nominated for an NAACP Image Award, was written in the times of the early 20th century in America and what black people went through. As a matter of fact, it referred to, I mean, the opening referred to Jack Johnson and Jim Jeffries, a famous fight that took place in Reno, Nevada in 1910. And Jack Johnson was the first black heavyweight champion. And the racism, after he won, people were getting lynched and killed because a black man beat a white man in a boxing ring. You know, a prominent heavyweight white man in a boxing ring. And, you know, it went back to those times. I mean, these are things that we can incorporate into our fiction, you know. Research and like I said, research and not only writing about present-day problems, even in relationships or social issues, but also making reference to our past, because without our past, it wouldn't be a present or a future. You know, I would like to see that done. That's research. And also the quality, and like I was saying, research and quality, too, and technical execution. You want to do that. You want to be able to execute these things. And in order to execute these stories, you have to learn the craft of writing. It's not just putting words on a page, telling a story. You can do beautiful things with words. You can establish rhythms with words. You know, one of my favorite writers is Colson Whitehead, who does that, and my goodness, in the books that he does. Also Colin Channer, you know, Juno Diaz. I mean, you want to establish rhythm with words. And we can't be scared to show also our intelligence, too. What happens is, you know, you hear a lot of publishers saying that we have to dummy our books down in terms of writing on an eighth grade reading level or a level which people can comprehend. And I would like to think people of color are more intelligent than just a merely eighth grade educational reading level, you know. And we can't be scared to just articulate ourselves in thought on paper, you know. David Halberstam did that. David Marinus did that. I mean, if white people can do that, then why can't we?
Why can't we? We can. We absolutely can. And I am so welcome to you. If you just tuned in to the Coach Lalisa Show in the morning, we are being motivated and empowered and enlightened by our very, very special guest, Mr. author William Frederick Cooper. And he's just sharing some interesting insight and help for authors and writers, for authors to learn, making sure that you know the craft of writing, that you're putting this in your book, that when you sit down to pen that novel, that nonfiction, that fiction, that play, even whatever it is you're doing, put some substance behind it. do the research, he said. He said that the research will go a long way, and he's just really sharing, you know, talking about, we've been talking about marketing, how to get a job, make sure you have a way to eat and pay your bills and to even fund your project. You're absolutely, everything you're saying, William, you know, it would have been such a gem had I heard this in 2003 or 2004, because unfortunately, I didn't. I just had this, you know, desire to, you know, write a book to help people. Wanted to help people. Wanted to motivate people to, when they get out of jail.
Yeah, you gotta have a plan. Gotta have a plan in terms of marketing. Going back to this, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interject over you. But you gotta have a plan. If you want to do this full time, you gotta have a plan. I mean, and I'm speaking for myself at times, because there were times where I didn't have a plan. I flew off the seat of my pants, and you know, I could have been further along in places that I'm now getting to now. I could have been a little bit further along, you
right.
know, but you got to have a plan when you do this. If you have the plan to write full time, you got to do the work. You got to do the research. You got to do the plan. You got to have a job until you're able to do this full time. You know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight, you know, unless you have a woman has a great husband that understands the endeavor, or, you know.
Got that right.
Yeah, that you got to have a great husband that understands the endeavor, and that maybe may provide a financial security so that you can do that full time.
No,
everybody doesn't have that. And, you know, you got to have a plan.
You got to have that plan, because there's so, like you said, there's a lot of finances that go into funding your project. Even if you want to do a book signing, I mean, who's going to pay for the refreshments? Or who's going to pay for the place where you're going to host it? So
it's a business. It's a business.
Yeah.
And what it is, you know, anytime you talk about your book, whether it be over dinner, another thing, you know, these are tax write-offs. You know, if you get, wherever you go, you ask for receipts. You know, if you're traveling, or you're doing, you make sure you're traveling a place to a book engagement, get a receipt. You know, if you talk about your book over dinner and you're paying for the dinner or lunch, get a receipt. It's a tax write-off. All of these things are tax write-offs. People don't realize that. It's 1099,
it's
your own business.
Now, here's the thing. If you did not declare a business, or you did not file for a business ownership, and you're just, you know, doing it as a sole, you know, as a sole proprietor without, you know, any legal paperwork, can you still write off those?
No. It's just your business. You're
okay.
An entrepreneur. When you write a book, you're also an entrepreneur. And if you're promoting your book, you're traveling places, it now becomes your business. I had problems with the tax people because of that, you know, a few years ago. You know, I had problems with that. I'm working. And I'm making X, Y, and Z money, but I'm also finding out that I owed Uncle Sam money. And I was like, you know what, I'm kicking out all this money. Why wasn't I claiming for it? You know, when you travel, plane trips, you know, when you're going to speak places, if the expense is not being footed for you, you got to keep all these receipts. This is your business. And you have to not only have balance that creativity with your business savvy with your mind. This is your business, you know, and people don't realize that. They don't realize this is your business. Anytime you talk about your book, you're talking about your business, you know.
Okay.
You're talking about your business. Anytime you talk about it, if you're having lunch with somebody, it's a tax write-off, you know. I mean,
but you're saying you're not able to write that off.
Unless you're filing a 1099, this is your business, you know?
Okay, but what I'm saying, do you have to file that 1099?
Yes, you do.
Do you have to create the whole business?
Yes.
You have to create the business before you can file a 1099?
Yes.
Yes. You're saying yes, okay. So whether your business is going to be called, you know, the Frederick, you know, F. Cooper, I mean, Enterprises, you have
you
to
just
file.
Throwing up my name, girl.
I got it. Can I just call you WF?
No, who are you, Frederick?
almost like the Wrestling Federation Commission or something.
Yeah, I know. It's a long name. I'm sorry. I use my whole name when I write. You know,
your whole name? But I'm saying, okay, so in a person, they would have to go and file maybe with the city or the state or the whomever?
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, because you're, like I said, again, this is your business. I mean, writing is a business to you. Or, I mean, you could just file a 1099 tax form saying that you contributed stuff to this. You know, you don't necessarily have to file the paperwork. I mean, I found that in 2007, 2008, and 2009, I ended up, you know, for everything that I would do pertaining to my book, I just filed a 1099 and said, hey, listen, I'm doing my own thing. And they look up these things. I mean, they have your tax records. If they, like with me, you know, because I got royalty statements from Simon & Schuster, they would, you know, they would see.
Right.
You know, I mean, you also have to file, you get 1099, maybe it's early in the morning. I can't think of the statements that you get at the beginning of the year for your year's earnings. If your job's given to you,
Your W-2,
exactly. I'm sorry. I couldn't think of it. But
that's all right.
The W-2 statements that you get, you know. If you're getting stuff from Simon & Schuster and they're not taking any taxes out of it, that is your business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to file it, you know. I mean, anything with that is anything that you do pertaining to your book is a tax write-off. You know?
Okay, so if you don't, so for these authors, even if they have not gone down to City Hall or to the state and file papers to, you know, for business ownership, they can still file the 1099?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
okay.
These are things that a lot of authors don't know. They're shelling out this money, but they're not getting anything back in return. You might not get it back then, but you get it back on the back end when it comes to your tax returns. You know,
okay.
You're traveling. You're going. Let's say, you know, you got asked to speak at Rahway, New Jersey, and you drove, tolls that you're paying, ask for a receipt, gas that you're putting in your car, get a receipt, you know, and make yourself a folder. Okay, this is what I did the month of June. This is what I did the month of July, you know. I remember when I had to finance, there's always a reason in my tour. I had to finance that, you know, with the advance money that I got as well as other things. You know, I'm flying here, there, trying to speak, getting receipts from Travelocity, getting receipts from Orbitz, you know, making sure I had them in my records.
Now tell us,
this
is great.
Money on. I mean, these are things that you write off, and writers don't realize that.
They don't.
You're
sharing some very, very, you know, good information for writers, because I am connected to so many writers. We have so many authors and writers who tune into the show. They, you know, call in, they listen to the archives, and so I know this information is going to really help them. So we've talked about some marketing strategies. You talked about some online marketing things people can do, some blogs. They can either start the blogs, write on different issues. They can also join other people's blogs that are already out there. They can come on various people's radio shows to get their message out, to get out their story, their message. If it's just a business for them, which I think for most of them it's what they love. It's a craft. It's something that they're doing. It just so happens that being an author, it is a business, or being a writer, whatever. It is a business, and so there's nothing wrong with that. The path you've chosen, because you're helping so many people who otherwise, like I know I have a sister who can sit in her, you know, sit at home for months and years on end and do nothing but read. She just loves to read like that. So if there weren't authors and writers, you know, half her life would be more bored. But so I really appreciate you, Mr. William, and all the other writers that were at the conference, you know, Terry Benjamin, Tobias, and I don't know all the names, but I know Elijah, the young man right there with the spoken word and poetry, and Miss Janet White with her brand new book, Deception, and some of the names I can't remember. The one, is it the one young man who wrote the book about hate?
Darren Whalen. Yeah, Darren Whalen.
Yeah, what's the color? I think what's the color of hate?
Yeah, Darren Whalen.
Yeah, we're gonna look to get, you know, all of these authors, you know, on here from time to time. But for those authors who, like, you know, Virginia Dancy, you know, she's just written a book, and you know, Mr. Howard Scott, he's another author that I you know met up with, and you know, Miss Denise Jenkins, and so many others I could call their names. This is going to be great, great information. Miss Sharon Wells, she also just finished writing a book not too long ago, and so this is great information. You know, keep your job, keep good records, you know, do the research as a writer, learn the craft. You said some very powerful things also yesterday about how, you know, in the literary, and you know, urban lit or street lit or whatever we want to call it, you know, when you're writing these stories and these books, you know, make sure you drop some serious
little messages, little tidbits on consciousness.
Sure.
You know,
yeah, right.
Because what we're reading now is a lot of anger. But to refute anger, you got to also drop level, you know, things of consciousness too. And I mean, every now and then showing a character's guilt sometimes as to this fast-paced life. Not just showing the action, not focusing on what happens in the prison, showing the consciousness, showing the growth, you know, I mean, the further growth, you know, and I'm not just saying I stopped doing this. Show the reasons why, because he's killing his community. He or she's killing his community while they're doing that, you know. Show the conflict. Show the struggle with that conflict, because then you're facilitating learning, you know. If you're just showing the action or showing how things are made, you know, that's an education in itself, but it's a glorification of self-hatred also. And you have to be careful with that. You know, I mean,
yeah, I like that, like, raising that level of consciousness,
yeah,
showing
mean,
that, yeah, you know, how you felt, yeah, how you're feeling about it, not just, okay, this is what happened.
Yeah, this is what's going down. How are you feeling about this? You
yeah.
know, how are you feeling about this? That's when you're teaching. That's when you're teaching. You know, that's when you're teaching, because you're saying, okay, you know what? I'm doing this. I'm selling this dope, but I really don't want to. I know what I'm doing to my community. I know, you know, that generations before me may have done this, but I want to stop doing this because it's killing my black man. It's killing my black woman. I'm taking food off the table of a person by providing them, you know, I'm selling something to a pregnant woman. I'm selling this to somebody that you know, got a, you know, they're out in the streets looking for this when they should be at home, you know. When you're talking about these issues, you're also raising social consciousness, you know, especially in our community, you know, and you're showing the conflict. Show the guilt. Because if you show the guilt as well as telling the story, showing the guilt or not even the guilt, but the struggle with good and evil, then again, you're raising the level of consciousness, you're facilitating higher learning. But if you're not doing that, you're just telling the story, nigga this, nigga that, you know, I'm doing this and I've got to go to jail for that, and showing what goes on in jail, you're perpetuating self-hatred. You know? And we got to stop that. We got to stop that. You know, you look at, there's a lot of people that are angry, but there's a way to channel your anger into something positive. You know, and that's what I'm asking some of my brothers to do. I'm not telling them not to write the story. You know, I would listen to a lot of authors, you know, on certain things, you know, hating, literally dropping hatred on the street lit. One, because it's fast moving. Two, it's because it's selling, you know, it's more profitable now than many other genres. You know, no, but if you have a problem with it, offer a solution. Don't just come there with a problem saying, I don't like this, and here's the reasons why, you know. If you have a problem with something, offer a solution. I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but I know that, you know, now that you've got people reading it, now go deeper.
Now go raise
now it. You have to go, it's your obligation as an author as well as a writer to go deeper with it. Now you
now
have a teaching vehicle. And I'm not necessarily saying that.
Hey, well,
you know,
we already see we got to turn this into a four-part series. But hold on. I just want to let callers on the line know, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you would have to hit your number one key in order for me to realize that you want to come on the air. But otherwise, I will just appreciate that, you know, you there listening, and we welcome you to the show. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Coach Lisa Show in the Morning, where we try to motivate you and stimulate you and empower you to do what you have to do, live your dreams like we're doing. I'm living my dream. Mr. William Frederick is living his dream. He's on his way. I mean, he didn't tell me he was living his dream, but I'm just going to believe that he's doing something wonderful and great, helping. I know that's got to be your dream, but here's the question. Is there a difference between a writer and an author? And if so, what is it, if you can break that down?
An author promotes his stuff. You know, they've got the book out there promoting it. It's a personality. It's, you know, what you do with your product, the marketing side of it. But the writer is somebody who pays attention to the craft of writing, the nuances, how to alliteration, starting your sentences with verbs to create a rhythm to your sentences. Like, you might read some of the stories are so quick-paced, they're like, John sat on the floor. How about starting it with the verb, sitting on the floor, John did such and such, creating a rhythm with your word, you know, alliteration, which is basically starting words with the same letter to establish a rhythm. The magic movement of her midsection was marvelous as she floated across the room, you know. Utilizing a certain degree of intelligence and research in your writing, you know, in your craft. You read books on how to write. Saul Stein, Stein on Writing. Who wrote the book? Oh God, what is his name? Was it Patterson? Stephen King's book on writing. Dan Pointman. You read books on writing, you know, so that you can execute the craft. Technical excellence. Also utilizing a certain degree of intelligence in your writing, not listening to what they say about us, you know, reading on certain levels, because all of us don't. Big difference. And writing is writing about anything that you want to. You just don't pull yourself and write about relationship books or street books or romance books. You will write anything that you possibly can. You challenge yourself to do this.
Like, I'm challenging
you. If you write books, you write poetry. Challenge yourself.
You're right.
To write
I'm challenging. You're so right because I wrote this, you know, self help book, and then I, you know, it was in the back of my mind. It was like this burning drive to write something else, but I kept telling myself I couldn't do it. I said, no, you can't do it. It's going to be too hard. And then when I was at the writers' conference where I sat on the panel with you and Jeffrey and Jed and all the other writers who you've all written your novels, different novels, some writing on thriller and this and that, and that's when I said, I'm going to challenge myself to write a novel, and I left there fired up. I said, I'm going to try it. I'm going
to
challenge myself. I came home. I went online. I looked up some, you know, how to write this, how to write that. That was a quick, easy way. And I got some good instructions, some tips, and so I started. And I sat there and I wrote like 13 pages of a so-called novel. And I'm telling you, at 54, I never in my life ever dreamed I would even say the words that I wrote a novel. And, you know, and again, going back to my mother, Barbara, God bless her, God rest her soul, this woman, that's all she did in my life growing up. The main thing I remember about my mother, she always had a book in her hand. She was always reading. I used to tell people we threw away more books than the average household would probably contained because we were always moving. And whenever we move, my mother, we'd get to the new apartment and she'd say, "Where's that one box?" You know, it was her box of books, you know. And but, you know, she loved to read. And she said that her and her mother and her brother, when they were young, and they didn't have a television. That's all they did. The three of them, they read, you know, let each other read the whatever books. You know, when I was a kid, my mother tried to make us read, you know, Betsy, Tacy, and Tim. It was a novel about these three sisters. And she, you know, made us read it. My other sisters read it more easily. I was more reluctant. I probably read, like, you know, one or two chapters, and they read the whole book. But, you know, I just remember that. And so you're absolutely right, that challenge. So I'm, like, driven now.
But do we challenge ourselves when we're making money? You know, that's the thing you ask. We might find a formula that works, and we feel like, you know, this is what works. We're getting paid to do it, but do we challenge ourselves? We have to ask ourselves that too, you know. I mean, again, what is your legacy going to be as an African-American writer when it's all said and done? Is it going to be a mercenary where you're just writing to make money, or you're writing just because you love it? You know, I mean, actually, the question I've asked a lot of my peers and the responses I've gotten have been polarizing. I've asked them, what is your legacy going to be as a writer? Are you a mercenary, or are you somebody that wants to be remembered for something they've done? It's like the music industry when you really think about it now. A lot of stuff is being put out, but how much of this stuff is going to be remembered 20, 30 years from now, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, what type of music will be remembered 20 or 30 years from now? Why do
typically
you think
the ones have
Stevie Wonder
the ones,
or Michael Jackson or Nancy Wilson or people of quality? What type of quality are we putting out? So we have to ask ourselves that. And in order to put out quality, you have to become a writer, not an author. An author ain't going to put out quality all the time. You got to become a writer.
Well, where's your writing workshops? Where do you hold your writing workshops and teach people this crap?
I don't do any of that stuff. You know,
but,
I just don't. I wish I could, but, you
hello?
Know, I'm just, oh, hello?
Hello, knock,
hello?
Knock, knock. When are you going to? Now I'm here.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, I know, right. What are you talking about? I mean, hello? Yeah.
You're right.
You want
You're
us
right.
to learn the craft. You want us to learn it well. If we can't learn it from the people who can do it well, then what do you expect the outcome to be?
You're right about that. You know, you're right about that.
You know,
that.
I teach at a college, and they're not going to just hire any economics professor or any algebra teacher. They want someone who is going to be able to, I mean, they have tons of them, but they want to select the teacher or the professor that they feel is going to put the information out there correctly, because we all know of, you know, practice makes perfect, but we all realize that, no, it's perfect. Practice makes perfect. So when are we going to have the quality writing seminars and workshops? Because like I said, I went online. I found a ton of stuff. But I'm just saying, why can't you do an online seminar? You don't have to do it.
You're absolutely right.
Building. You don't need a building.
No.
You don't need a
building. You set that light bulb off in my head. It's like, ding, you know, and it's...
Wait. You want to help. You obviously,
you
wouldn't be up at 7 a.m. coming on the Cultural Lisa show, woman that you just met on Saturday, to give all this information and to be so passionate. Everyone can hear it. The phone lines are lit up. And
you know,
this show hasn't even been on it. But you are talking right. You're not, like you said, you've broken down the difference between being an author and being a writer. You've told us how to start for a sentence off, I mean, in your story with the verb. Where are we going to get this kind of information? I know there are a lot of people going to be going back to the archives, including me, just to hear that, especially when you got a person who does love to write, like myself.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. People have shared that with me, LaLisa. They really have shared that with me. I remember being on a book summit cruise in 2001 with an author named Timothy McCann, who, a dear friend of mine now, I love him. He's a pastor, believe it or not, in Atlanta. And he wrote these books, these best-selling books with one word titles, like Until, Always, Forever, back at, and he was so passionate about writing. And I remember him taking a story that I did and dissecting it, and then sitting down with me for 2 hours on a cruise and just breaking down the nuances of writing. And these are things I remember to this day about writing. And I'm like, you know, his passion was one of the things that stuck out on me. And I was like, you know what? He showed me even in his passion that it's okay to be passionate about this. I mean, if this is something that you love to do, you have to be passionate about it too. You know, almost like obsessive with yourself, you know, in order to command excellence of yourself. And I often wonder if enough of us do that, if we're passionate about this, to commit to that excellence learning the craft of writing.
How can we be passionate if you don't do the workshop to teach us? So.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I know. I'm not right about a lot of things, but I know I'm not wrong about this.
No, you were definitely right about that. I feel like, duh.
Well, you see, but you know what? Everything happens for a reason. So, you know, you got here. But this is one of the things that we do with the Coach of Elisa show. Is one of the things that Coach of Elisa does is to help people do something that others need really bad. That's really what, I don't know what other coaches do, but that's what I do. Help people, and you are already doing so many things, but here's something that I know people really need, because I know so many people who do love to write. They may be like me, dropped out of high school, didn't do well when I was in school, so I missed a lot of pieces. So I may have missed that English class or that language class where we were taught the structure of writing. Because I go, sometimes when I go speak in elementary schools and I go into third grade classes and sixth grade classrooms, and I observe what's on the walls, and all of it's right there. So it is taught to the average child. These are in regular public schools. But are the children catching it? Maybe they're like me. Maybe they were being molested at home at night. So when you went to school in the morning, you're not focused on anything. Maybe your parents were verbally abusing you at night. So in the morning, you're worried about when you get to school is, am I going to get cussed out again tonight? You're not focusing on
focusing on those things. You know,
because it's on the walls. Is the teacher so busy telling your child to sit down and be quiet that they can't even teach the lessons, so the other kids miss out? So it's there. I'm a witness. Because at first I was thinking, well, I never got this. Well, now that I'm able to go back into schools, I can see it is there. And like I said, these are in the inner city public schools. It's there. So I can imagine other schools that have a lot more resources. So, okay, so maybe a person did miss it. You know, maybe it's not totally their fault. Maybe they weren't
just around.
You're
right about that. You know,
they had other, 'cause some kids
so many
at home,
issues.
These kids today, and I thought I had it bad. They got a lot more. When you have to go home and worry about, is there going to be a dinner? Is mama going to be mad because, you know, mama or daddy. A lot of times daddy ain't even there. So maybe they're just, so who knows? But here's the thing.
Yeah, you got to rise above a lot to accomplish.
Now, but they can fill in.
You got to rise above a lot to accomplish a lot. But that's where your faith in God comes in.
Well, people like you can fill in the missing blanks for people who did miss that. And you can just, you know, by holding, you know, a simple writer seminar, you can do it on YouTube. You can even do a YouTube, a 10-minute a day, 5-minute a day YouTube. You know, come on. People would be blowing that YouTube spot up.
Yeah,
I
would watch on Facebook, Terry McMillan would put out tidbits about writing. And, you know, I would pay attention to those things, too, even now. You know, when she used to do it on Facebook, I would pay attention to those things in terms of writing, because, you know, you're constantly learning this thing. You know, it may sound like and maybe that's one of the reasons why I don't put out a workshop, because I'm not a writer. I wouldn't profess to be a writing guru. These are things that I have learned along the way. You
tell
know,
us what
about
you know.
Writing. And that's all I'm doing is just telling what I know. You know,
that's all anyone does. But that's all she did. That's all everyone does. Excuse me, hello. Didn't you just say writing what you know? Hello. You know, we got this on archive. We can go back. We heard
you're
what
right
you said. Hello.
Right.
is what you know. What you know is more than what we know. So all I'm saying is, and it's for what some people have forgotten. Some did know. There were some third graders who did learn it. But by the time they got to the 12th grade, they may have forgotten.
Yeah.
With all the Nintendos and Xboxes and every other thing to draw
their
attention.
Yeah, you know, there's so many distractions and also that keep us from learning certain things. We have so many distractions. And interpersonal relationships are lost because of these distractions. And interpersonal relationships are where sometimes you learn things, you know. But that's, again, that's another subject for another time,
oh.
You know.
Story. Well, whatever you do, because we only have 4 minutes left, but what I'm going to say this, do not think for a minute I'm going to do you now like Mordecai did Esther. You know, how do you know that you didn't come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So do not think that you're going to get away with this. You're going to
I won't.
You're going to do a 2 minute YouTube video of writing tips. Do not worry about if somebody else can do it better. It's not about that. You have an audience with myself and other people that are on this line and other people that I know in Cleveland, Ohio, people I know in right here in New Jersey, that if I do a writer's workshop, they're coming. So you need to get this done. So I'm not any pressure on you.
No, you're just not putting any pressure on me, but you're holding the gun to my head. That's okay. No, I hear what you're saying, and thank you so much for that. See, you know what? And this is how the world operates, helping. And helping means what you just did. You made me look at something in a totally different perspective or gave me an idea of something that I can do. Not only for resources, but to help. You
we
help
need
me
it.
Try to help others. You're helping me.
I got a novel
others.
To finish. Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Anybody home? I got a novel. Can you
got it. You got it. I definitely
you know,
will.
you could put it on YouTube. You could do it as a teleseminar. You could do it however you want. I know we need the information, and
yeah.
I'd rather get it from a person that I know has already accomplished this thing. And you already have said so much, but I'm saying why not make it more formal? Because there's so many. I just did a writers' conference in March of this year. I had at least 25 writers there. I'm going to email all of them. I have people in Cleveland saying, bring your conference to Cleveland. I have people already waiting on standby.
Okay, well, listen, I'll tell you what. See, I know a lot of book clubs in Cleveland. So if you go, and I love it up there. I remember going up there visiting the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, little place, but I stayed there like all day. I was like, wow, this is incredible. And it's by the Indians and the Cleveland Browns stadiums, too. Really, I love Cleveland. The Flats, love hanging out there.
Okay.
You know, like I said, if you throw the Writers' Conference in Cleveland, I'm putting on air. I definitely want to be a part of that.
Well, we had it scheduled, but we had to cancel it because we, didn't have enough time to. Because when we had the one here in March, there were people who wanted to come, and they were like, "Oh, well, can you come here?" So we tried to schedule it, too soon, and I couldn't pull all the writers together that needed to travel there with us. I did some things with them online. But just imagine if they would have had you to come there, boy, these people are going to be thrilled to death. So they're going to be on the show. Some of them, they went on and got their book out because they wrote a book about domestic violence. It's just sharing their stories. But they'll be on all next week. Not all
definitely
next week,
will
but
call in. Definitely
3 days
call
next
in.
They will be on. But this is a good thing here. So to give us something, give us the help we need to so we can become great writers and we can do this. So that's all we have time for. So we'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow. You know you're absolutely welcome. Tomorrow is Friday. And this has been Coach Lalisa and talking with author extraordinaire, writer, Mr. William Frederick Cooper, who has done great things. Please go to his Facebook page, and you can learn so much more about him. Facebook, MySpace, he's on Twitter. You could just put his name in Google or if you want to give us, his website is being rebuilt right now, or it's under construction. So, but as soon as it comes online, we'll let you know. You can get in touch with him, go right to Facebook, and, you know, ask him questions. You can see how open and easy he is to work with. And you know what? We're going to get this done. We're going to raise that level of consciousness. We're going to help our children, our youth, our families, our husbands, our wives. It's done. And this is a revolution right now. And, Mr. Frederick, you're right at the forefront.
God bless you.
I hope you get your rest. You know, eat properly. Get ready for this ride.
Yeah, I'm trying. Listen, I got to bounce.
Body,
take care of yourself, Felisa.
Thank you. We'll be back here for another segment of Motivation with Morning with Coach Lalisa. Have a powerful day.